community, thanks for tuning into the Outlet at Home experience. I'm Diana, and I hope you had an amazing week. And if you didn't, it is about to get better with today's worship and word. But first, can someone please tell me where this year has gone? Put that in the comments. Where did this year go? Remember, we need you all to talk back to us in the comments. And while you're typing, add, can you believe it's almost the new year? Wow. Well, how will you make these last couple of months this year count? One way to make them count is by letting your voice be heard by voting before or on November 3rd. Vote.org has the resources you need to make sure you can participate in one of the biggest elections of our time. Did I say the biggest? Vote.org allows you to check your registration, register to vote, sign up for election reminders, and it even has a polling place locator. Check it out after service today. Now, let's head right into praise and worship.
Open the eyes of my heart, I want to see you, I want to see you, God, yeah. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord, open the eyes of my heart, I want to see you, I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. You are holy, holy, holy. You are holy, holy, holy. You are holy. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you, yeah. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you, yeah. I want to see you. Because you're perfect in all of your ways, oh God. Perfect in all of your ways. Perfect in all of your ways to us. Every day, God, you are perfect in all of your ways. Perfect in all of your ways. Perfect in all of your ways to us. Yeah. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. Yeah. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. Who I am, who I am, because you're perfect in all of your ways. Perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. To every day, God. You are perfect in all of your way. You're perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways to us. Oh yeah. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. Because you are perfect in all of your ways. Perfect in all of your ways. God, you are perfect in all of your ways to us. You're good, good Father.
Hey, I'm Vince Thomas, lead pastor of the Outlet community, and I want to thank you so much for watching another Outlet at Home experience. Whether you're joining us live or you're watching on demand or even listening to the audio podcast, thank you from the bottom of our hearts so much for being a part of our experience on today. But as you can see, we're doing things a tad bit different. Because I'm led to just have a conversation with you. That's right, if you have some coffee, Gatorade, water, whatever you like to have, let's have a conversation together. As you're leading as a pastor, you either lead by revelation, where Holy Spirit is illuminating things that you're studying, that He wants you to share with the people of God, or there's times where you're leading by observation, where you're having conversations and you're noticing that there's a similar theme that's going on within your community that you need to have a conversation about. Well, we're going to be having a message today that comes from just observation of spending time with our church family. I want to start off by saying I have been praying specifically for you, for your family, for your household. These are truly unprecedented times. And I've just watched your resilience. I've watched how you've just been able to take uncertainty and make the best out of it. And I want to commend you for that, but I also want to encourage you to keep going. There's so many questions that sometimes we have. And every so often we get these moments where we can come together and look in scripture and see, okay, so how do I move forward from here? And if you have your Bible, could you go with me to 1 Peter chapter 1? 1 Peter chapter 1, and we're going to look at a passage of scripture that whenever life begins to kind of pick up or the testing and trials of life start, I go back to this passage of scripture that I want to share with you today. I really want to speak from my heart from a place of you are not alone in what you're facing. You're not alone in what you're dealing with. And I want you to be able to, from the heart, just begin to write down things that when life happens, I can go to. And I know I have an anchor in scripture concerning. But in the midst of everything that's going on, I mean, of course, there are some things that go according to plan and there are some things that don't go according to plan. But in this season, for you personally, I want you to think about what has been the most surprising element out of the season that you're currently in. I can tell you right now that back in March, I thought that we'd be doing church and doing life the way that we're currently doing church and life for only about a 2 to 4 week period of time, maybe 3 months at best. And you look up and we're steadily going past 6 months. And so that was a surprise in 2020 that came out of nowhere. That's just one. But what about you? What has surprised you most about this season? And as you're thinking about that, I want you to go with me to 1 Peter chapter 1, and let's look at verse 3. I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. I'll be reading all the way to verse 7. And it says, "All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." And I want to pause right here and say, listen, every day that you wake up, make it a point to say, "God, I give you the praise. God, I want to thank you that there's another day that I can put feet on the floor. It might not be what I thought it would be, but thank you, Lord, for an opportunity to yet live for you another day." It says, "It's by his great mercy that we've been born again because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Now we live with great expectation, and we have a priceless inheritance, an inheritance that is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled beyond the reach of change and decay. And through your faith, God is protecting you by his power until you receive his salvation, which is ready to be revealed on the last day for all to see." Verse 6, Peter says, "So be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead, even though you must endure many trials for a little while. These trials will show you that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. Though your faith is far more precious than mere gold, so when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for every person who's listening and who's watching. God, you know the situations that they're dealing with. You know what they're going through. You know the questions that they have, the unanswered things that are still set before them. And I'm asking you, Lord, to strengthen our faith that it may be genuine. May we anchor our trust and our hope in you. Thank you for this time together. Holy Spirit, speak through me so that I may speak your word to your people. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, today I want to have a conversation on faith under fire. Go ahead and type that in. Faith under fire. You see, it's one thing to have faith in a church setting, in a life group setting, or when we're having a conversation on a phone and we're encouraging someone to stay strong, to be encouraged, to not give up. But what happens when life takes place, when changes happen, when trials arise, when our belief system, our world is shaken, our faith gets under fire, it's under attack? See, it's in those moments that we realize what we truly have. And this week, as I was preparing to speak to you, I woke up with a word that came in my heart, and that word was simply turbulence. And I began to imagine a plane flight, and I've had a couple of long plane flights, especially coming from West Coast back to East Coast, where you begin to hit different air pockets and the pilot will come on the intercom and say, "You all might want to buckle up. We are going to be experiencing a couple pockets of turbulence." And based off his calm demeanor, his calm nature, you're thinking, "Oh, this won't be that bad." But then before you know it, the entire plane gets to shaking. You wondering, like, "Lord, are we going to make it? The plane's still in the air. We just can't pull over. Like, what is going on?" But the pilot continues to navigate even though he experienced that pocket of turbulence. And I believe that for some of us who are watching today and listening, that your life is experiencing a pocket of turbulence. You see, turbulence is motion that is characterized by a chaotic change in pressure and in flow velocity. You see, there may be things that you were expecting that didn't come the way that you thought. There may be opportunities that you thought were for sure going to manifest and for sure going to take place, and they didn't. Your job or your industry might be experiencing an unnecessary or an unintended setback. And you're wondering, "What in the world am I going to do?" And it truly is rocking you to your core. Well, I want us today to not only deal with the turbulence, but I also want us today to deal with the transition that comes with life. And if we go back to 1 Peter chapter 1 and in verse 4, I want you to notice something before we begin to talk about dealing with the transition and dealing with the turbulence in life. I want us to establish and to define something that Peter mentions here in verse 40. And he says, and we have a priceless inheritance. And it's an inheritance that's kept in heaven. The word heaven there means the spiritual realm. So there's a priceless inheritance that's kept in the spiritual realm for you. This inheritance is pure and undefiled and is beyond the reach of change and decay. And for that, I am so grateful. See, we're living in a natural world that once something is birthed and something that is manifest here in this earth, whether it's a life, whether it's fruit or something that is perishable, because of the fallen world that we're in, it begins the process of decay. And so what Peter is saying is that what God has for you, it may be that it's been some time since you heard it in the spirit versus the time that you're actually holding it in your hand, but you don't need to feel rushed. You don't need to feel like you're missing out, because what God has for you has no expiration date on that. I want you to hear me. What God has for you does not have an expiration date on it. I don't want you to think that I missed my moment. I don't want you to think that I'm too old. I don't want you to think that I should have made better choices. And if I would have made better choices, then I would have been able to walk in what God has for me. No, what he's saying is that what God has for you is for you, and it's without fail. I don't care what anyone else has said, but if God promised it to you, it's waiting for you to draw it out. But it's one thing to hear about the priceless inheritance, but it's another thing to know what this priceless inheritance looks like. And I want to show you this priceless inheritance from Scripture so that you know where to anchor your faith. Because if we're thinking that the priceless inheritance is the job, if we're thinking that the priceless inheritance is the house, we're thinking the priceless inheritance is the connection to this network or that network, then we're going to anchor our hope in those things. So if we're taking the analogy used with an airplane, when it comes to aerodynamics, there is the law of gravity versus the law of lift. And if we're bringing that into a spiritual concept, the law of gravity is could be known as the law of sin and death, or the law of decay. But the law of lift spiritually is called the law of life, or the spirit and life. And that law can be comprised of these four elements. The first element is your righteousness, or your right standing with God. So Satan is going to attack you in wondering, am I cool with God? Did I do enough? Does God love me? Did I mess up back then when they said that you sowing seeds for your future? Am I now reaping a harvest on some sin I didn't know I did? You know, like, what do I have to do to be accepted by God that I'm going through this right now? Do not allow Satan to attack your footing and your position with God. It is a gift given to you by Jesus Christ. The second area is your hope, because you have a position with God that is given to you, not based on your merits, but the working of Jesus Christ. You now have what's called a living or a lively hope, which means it's a hope or a great expectation that cannot go away. Proverbs says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. We could bring that into today's vernacular that says without hope, that's what leads to being depressed. That's what leads to being down. That's what leads to feeling dejected. And again, Satan's going to come after your hope. The third area is the love of God. The love of God is important because 1 John chapter 4 says, perfect love gets rid of fear. So if you have a question, does God love me in this? Then in those questions is where the fear about what am I to do next? The fear of the future shows up. And what God is saying is that we need to focus on righteousness, hope, his love. But the fourth area, which helps us to supersede the law of decay, the law of sin and death, is this law of victory, where 1 Corinthians 15 says, thanks be to God, who always causes us to triumph through Jesus Christ. So when I understand my position with God is secure because of Jesus, I understand that he is my hope. That's a living hope. I understand that God's love carries me through no matter what I face, and I always have the victory. Go ahead and type that in the chat right now. You always have the victory. Type, I always have the victory. So that means that this thought that I might not make it, this thought that I don't know what I'm going to do next, I might not be able to see all of the in-between moments, but I know the beginning I'm going to be fine, and coming out on the other side, I'm going to be fine. But what we have to understand is that this dependence that's needed on God is not a destination. Sometimes in our mind, we're facing trials, when we're facing tests, when we're facing things that we didn't foresee ourselves in, we think that when I get to a certain place, then I could finally take a deep breath and I won't have to depend on God like I'm doing right now. Well, that's a myth. There will never be an amount of money. There will never be a level of status. There will never be a level of growth in your industry and in your business where you don't have to depend on God. In fact, if I could let the cat out the bag, the higher up you go in life, the more you're going to have to depend. And when we understand that this is the case, we see in verse 6 of 1 Peter chapter 1, where Peter says, "In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials." What he's saying is that I can have joy in the middle of what I'm facing because I know the end result. But what Peter implies, which I want to show you today about this Christian walk, is that for a period of time, there may be an element of pain associated with your walk from beginning to what you prayed for to the end of what you prayed for. Sometimes, I hate to say this, but it is the truth. There are going to be some painful moments in your Christian faith, in your walk with God. I know that's not a shouting message, but it's a real message. But this reference that Peter is talking about is the pain that's associated with a surgery. And sometimes when there's a needed operation, there's a needed surgery, whether it's getting your wisdom teeth, for instance, removed, there's a pain in the extraction, but the extraction is to make place for, number one, a healing, and to make sure that the area that's being extracted doesn't suffer further infection. Some things in our life have to be removed so that we don't have a spiritual infection that comes in. The biggest spiritual infection that we could have in our life is this word called doubt. Doubt is an infection that stops us from believing the word of God in its purest form. And what happens is doubt in one area begins to creep over into doubt in other areas. You see, the levels of fear, the levels of anxiety are not just limited to one particular area. If you take evaluation over the areas of fear and anxiety in your life, you will then begin to see where they can have influence in other areas. And so in these moments of growth where there's pain associated to God, I'm having to trust in you, I'm having to believe in you, but this is hard, this is tough, this is not what I wanted to do right now. He's removing areas of infection, of doubt, so that you can know without a shadow of a doubt that God is real and that his word is true. Each of us have a process that we have to go through, and there's no way to circumvent this process. You see, in my own personal life, I can remember maybe about 6 years ago, the Lord was asking me to take a leap of faith. He was asking me to depend totally on him. And I'll be honest, I wasn't trying to have any parts of that. I wasn't trying to hear him, not at all. I was trying to find the easiest route possible. And what happened was 4 years from that point, I found myself in the same situation that I was in 6 years ago. And so although I was able to defer the process, I wasn't able to circumvent the process. And sometimes we are revisiting areas in our life where we thought we were beyond. I thought I was beyond having to trust like this. I thought I was beyond having to believe like this. But I believe there are moments in our life where God brings us back to square one to say, now I want you to build this the right way. I want you to trust in me the right way. And the pain associated with trusting and believing is the pain of separation from our backup plans. Come on now. We have some plans that say, listen, I know, Lord, what you told me, but in the event that this doesn't work out like you said, then I'm going to be able to fall back on A, B, and C. And every plan that you have to surrender, there's an element of pain because I'm losing that control. And so in real time situations, that's when we find out who we really are. Listen, we can shout all day long with our Christian friends. You know, we can shout all day long in church Christian settings. But when you are left in a place where the only person you can call and the only place you can depend on is God, you find out how much have I truly been anchored in His Word. But I want us to look at something in verse 7. It says that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it's tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. What he's saying there is that a genuine faith is a faith that says, under no circumstance am I willing to give up on what God has said concerning me? Under no circumstance. That means quitting is not an option. That means failure is not final. That means under no circumstance will I ever turn my back on what God has said. And when you have the determination in the midst of the test, verse 9, I love it, where it says, you will receive the end of your faith. It's one thing to start out in prayer. It's one thing to have the hope, the desire to receive something, but sticking with what God has said concerning your life until the end. The end of your faith, sometimes it doesn't have a definite time frame. I can't say that from the moment you pray to the time you receive it is going to be a matter of 2 to 3 years. I can't say that. Some things in our lives we've been believing for 10 years, 15 years, and yet under no circumstance can we let go of the dream. Under no circumstance can we let go of the word that God has given us. Because Peter says that when you go through the fire, when you go through the test, the overall purpose of this is so that you can receive the end of your faith. But when our faith is tested, there's another area of our life that's tested, and that's our contentment. How content are you with where you are today? And what contentment refers to is gratitude. Do we think about the good that we do have? Or are we thinking about what we still want to get? I want to encourage you that in the midst of your test, in the midst of your trial, I want you to make it a practice to cultivate a heart of gratitude. But not only do I want you to cultivate a heart of gratitude, I want you to also sow toward your future. Now, when I was writing these notes for this message down and I heard sow toward the future, I immediately thought financially, and I was like, how do we do that? But the Lord began to speak to me and said, I'm not just talking about financially sow toward your future. He's saying that in our thoughts, in our words, in our actions, let us never lose sight of the bigger picture of the long term. And even when you don't know what to do, make sure that the decisions you make are not taking you backwards, but every decision you make, especially, and hear me, for those who are in the midst of a storm right now, every decision you make, let it be a decision to take a step closer to what you believe God has called you to do. If it pulls you away, that is not what you're to be doing in the midst of a storm. In a storm, you don't have the luxury to waste. And that's your time, that's your energy, that's your effort. Everything needs to be consolidated and moving forward toward your future. And as you sow toward your future, Psalm 126, verses 5 and 6 in the New King James, it says, those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. Sometimes it hurts that when you're making those steps forward, when you're doing what you believe God calls you to do, and it doesn't make sense in the natural, there are literal tears that you're sowing in. He said, you are going to reap in joy. Verse 6, he or she who continually goes forth weeping, you're continuing to sow toward your future, bearing seed for sowing, shall doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing in their sheaves or their harvest with them. What David is saying is that as you continue what you're called to do, you are going to bring in the ultimate harvest of what you're praying for. And I believe that as you're listening to this today, that you just need an encouragement just to keep going. And I want to tell you, don't give up right now. Don't slow down the pace, but focus totally on God. Even when your faith comes under fire, make a decision. I'm going to cultivate a heart of gratitude, and I'm going to sow towards my future. I'm going to make a decision that everything I do is going to be to go forward. I want to pray today for someone who's in the balance. Right now, you're feeling like, I am literally in the fight of my life. Listen, today it is time to get your win back. It's time to get your joy back. It's time for you to be all that God has created you to be. Can I pray with you today? Heavenly Father, my dear brothers and sisters on the other end of this camera, Lord, I'm asking that you help them, that you strengthen them, that you encourage them, that you're for them, that you're with them, that even though their faith may be going through testing and trials, even though there may be doubt that comes, may you show them that they have a right position with you. May you remind them of the hope that lives within them. May you show them your love and remind them that you give them the victory in every situation, Father. We thank you and we praise you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I want to thank you for being a part of our Outlet at Home experience today. It truly is an honor to come wherever you are in the world. You all have been so faithful concerning your support of the outlet, and it humbles me to know that I have the honor to lead such amazing people. Today, as we receive our offering, there's some information that's coming up on the screen. And there's two ways to give here at The Outlet. You can give online at theoutletcommunity.com/give or text in the number 73256 and the letters TOC. And a link will come back to you where you can complete your offering. As you're preparing your offering today, I want to ask you to continue to keep myself and my wife and our leadership team in your prayers as we are making preparations for the future of our ministry and how we will progress. We want to make sure that we're doing so by listening to Holy Spirit. And I know that throughout these past few months, you all have given us some feedback and insight, and we solicit it all the more. So please, if you have thoughts, if you have questions, you have concerns, don't hesitate to contact us at any time. Amen. Well, before we close out in prayer, I want to remind you that we will be picking up on our Hidden Blessings series on next week. Today, I just wanted to spend some time having a conversation on what to do when your faith is under fire. Amen. We will also have e-groups today where you get to connect with other church members. It will be after our Sunday 10 a.m. live broadcast. And immediately following, you can go ahead and watch that. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are so great. You are so wonderful. Thank you for every person who is under the sound of my voice. I speak over their lives, shalom, shalom. Nothing missing, nothing broken. I believe that this shall be the best week of their life. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless. We love you. And we'll see you next time at The Outlet at Home.
Now, that worship and word was so on point, I'll have to watch it again. If you are tuning into the 10 a.m. Sunday Live Outlet at Home experience, join us on Zoom right after the broadcast for our e-groups. And remember, we have our men's recharge prayer every Monday at 7 a.m. and the women's prayer on Mondays at 8 p.m. Catch us right back here next time for the Outlet at Home. Stay healthy and safe.